Rabbi Yehuda Shaviv studied in Yeshivat Kerem Biyavne and taught at Yeshivat Haritzion. He passed away in December of 2018. In one of his works, called Misinai Ba, in this week's Parsha, Parshas Tetzaveh, he presents parallels between the Mishkan, the tabernacle, and Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden. He points out how, midrashically, there is this connection between the Big Day Kahuna, the clothing, the vestments of the priesthood, and that which Adam and Chava were invested with by God, Vayal Bishem Kosnos Or, these cloaks, robes of skin, and that there is a connection between the Big Day Kahuna and the clothing that Adam and Chava were given by God. There is also a parallel in terms of the Kruvim, you know, the Kruvim, the cherubs in the inner sanctuary, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the Kruvim that God placed just at the entrance way to Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden, to prevent Adam and Chava from being able to re-enter. The most fascinating, I think, connection that he makes mention of is a Medrash. Medrash writes as follows, Chaviv HaMishkan Mi Gan Eden, Sheze Nikra Gan, Shenemar, Vita Hashem Elokim Gan Be'eden Mikedem, Aval Mishkan Nikra Gani, Basi Legani Achosi Chalo. The Medrash saying that the tabernacle is more precious, more beloved to God than the Garden of Eden, than Gan Eden, because the Garden of Eden, Gan Eden, is referred to in the Torah as a Gan, a garden, Vayita Hashem Elokim, that the Torah describes that God planted, created this garden. And the Mishkan, based on Midrashic interpretation of Pasuk, a verse in Shir HaShirim, refers to the Mishkan as Gani, Basi LeGani, my garden. That God views the Mishkan as his garden. Gan Eden was a garden. So Rebbe Shaviv points out that the parallel is based on the fact that in Gan Eden, God was present and kind of mingled amongst human beings. The Pasuk describes that Adam and Chava heard, Shom was kol Elokim mishalech, they heard God wandering in the garden. And here, with respect to the Mishkan, the Pasuk says, in last week's parasha, V'shechanti b'sochem, that I will dwell amongst them in the Mishkan. So the fact that God is present, available, accessible in the Mishkan, and was so in the garden, creates this parallel. The question, though, that I think needs to be addressed is, there must be a major difference, however, between the garden, Gan Eden, and God's presence there at that time, and the Mishkan, the tabernacle, and subsequently the Beis HaMikdash, the temple, and God's presence there, because we know that Gan Eden was a total failure. Adam and Chava did not survive living in Gan Eden. They had to be cast out of Gan Eden. They sinned in Gan Eden, and they were no longer able to live there for any extended period of time. So Gan Eden, as a place where God is present and able to interact with human beings, was a failure. The Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, was anything but a failure. Whether the Mishkan, for sure, during the 40 years in the desert, the first Beis HaMikdash, even the second Beis HaMikdash, which was not perhaps on the same level in terms of certain qualitative aspects as the first one, but it certainly, God's presence was there, and it was successful. There's a lot of history with regard to the second temple, and a lot of things that went on that certainly were not to be proud of. But fundamentally, the Mishkan, the Bat HaMikdash, the temples were successful experiences for the Jewish people, and please God will once again be a more permanent experience of success for the Jewish people. So why is it that the Garden of Eden, Gan Eden, failed and the Mishkan succeeded? And I think the answer to that is that if one looks at Gan Eden the way it's presented in Bereishis, the Torah there describes, we just mentioned the Pasuk, Vayita Hashem Elokim Gan Ve'eden, that God created this garden. God created this perfect garden, this perfect environment in which he would be present. And subsequently, the Pasuk then describes, Vayikach Hashem Elokim es ha'adam vayanichehu v'gan Eden. God then took Adam, took man, and placed him in the garden. God created that perfect divine environment for Adam, for man, and Chava, woman, to be able to exist in, to be able to potentially flourish and thrive. But that itself was the problem. Man can't survive, let alone thrive or flourish or excel, in a perfect world in which God is present in that perfect world of God. We can't survive in God's world. His world is perfect. His world is beyond comprehension. And therefore, any iniquity, any sin, any mistake automatically is incompatible with human beings being able to exist there. Therefore, Adam and Chava had to be cast out. And God understood that, of course. And that's why, with respect to the Mishkan, God directed Moshe to construct it in a totally different fashion. God says, I'm not going to create this for you. I want the Jewish people to create the Mishkan. I want Jewish people to create a garden which is intrinsically, absolutely imperfect. The entire nature of the Mishkan, of the Beis HaMikdash, in large part, is imperfection. How many of the sacrifices of the Korbanos are specifically designed for chatas, for sin out of accident, quote, ignorance, mistake, more so certainly than violations committed maliciously, but those are also potentially amenable and repairable and can be atoned for in the Beis HaMikdash. So the nature of the Beis HaMikdash is imperfection. The Beis HaMikdash is man's world, man's creation of imperfection, in which we invite God to dwell amongst us. And God says that you can't live in my perfect world, but I can live in your imperfect world. In fact, God says that I can not only live in your imperfect world of the Mishkan, I can actually thrive. V'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. I can actually become sanctified in your world, in your Mishkan. That's why God refers to that as Gani. The garden was a garden. It's God's perfect garden, but it's not really mine, says God. My garden, where I belong, is with the people, is with you in your Mishkan, in your imperfect Mishkan, in your Mishkan and your Beis HaMikdash, where there is imperfection, mistake, sin, kind of permeating the walls and the interiors of the Beis HaMikdash. And that is what God views as the perfect garden, because the perfect, imperfect world of man is one in which we recognize that we are imperfect, that we are fallible, that we make mistakes, and that we do not strive for perfection. We strive for improvement. We strive to become better. We strive to sanctify God, sanctify our own lives, and sanctify the world as a whole. And that is, God says, is that is Gani. That is my garden. And interestingly, the Nefesh HaChaim, Chaim Volozhin, in his work, Nefesh HaChaim in Shar Aleph, in the first section, in the sixth chapter, points out that the angels sanctify God as well. But the angels only have permit to sanctify God and say, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakos, after the Jewish people have sanctified God. He makes mention of that the angels are kind of like secondary. That first the Jewish people are to say Kadosh, 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 and only once we do so and pronounce that in the Beis Knesset, in synagogue, in the shul, a form of a Mishkan, form of a Mikdash, then the angels have right to do so. Because God says, I can stay in my perfect world in heaven, and I have these wonderful angelic ministering figures who will sanctify me all day long. But that, God says, doesn't quite do it for me. That's not the ultimate. The ultimate is v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael, when Jewish people, with their imperfections, striving to change and to elevate themselves and become better and better and create a better world, that's where I become most sanctified. And if it is, just to conclude, if it is God's perspective based on this understanding, that The ultimate is not the perfect world, but the imperfect world, with intent on always excelling further and growing more, then that should be our approach and perspective on other people as well, that we shouldn't necessarily expect perfection from ourselves or from others, and that we should be able to accept that as long as we are striving to better and others are cognizant of their own failures and interested in improving and excelling further in their own lives. Wish everyone Shabbat Shalom.